Brother Woody was talking in Sunday school about how people that say they're saved, but they're not living a life that would want to lead somebody else to Christ. And that didn't used to be the case. I was talking to my wife the other day, yesterday maybe, and I was talking about what an influence people were on my life when I was growing up. My grandparents, my parents, and people at the church. I remember folks at the church where I went that just lived right and did right, and they compelled you to be a child of God. But that's not the way it is anymore very much. But here in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Bible said in verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We ask you, dear God, just to anoint this preacher today. Lord, give us strength to bring the message that you've laid upon our heart. Lord, the words that need to be heard in this congregation today. Lord, I ask you, God, just to take the precious word of God. Lord, bring conviction, bring joy, bring blessing. God, do something. Father, with every heart in this building needs to be touched with the word of God. Lord, help us all today, Father. Lord, we just love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's two verses in here that I want to kind of focus on this morning. Number one is in verse number 3. The Bible said, "He is despised and rejected of men." Then down in verse number 6, said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." If I would have a title or a thought for the message, it would be "Things That Have Been Rejected of Man." And we certainly have a lot of things today that has been rejected, and every one of them is God. Everyone that you can think of that has been rejected today, it goes right back to God. That's the big thing that people want nothing to do with this morning. God is rejected in 2017. Nothing new about the rejection of God, but it's getting worse as the days go by. We sing a song sometimes, used to, that it gets sweeter as the days go by. Living for Jesus does, but I'll tell you something, the world gets worse with every passing day. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel that Saul was the king over there, and Saul never cared anything about God. But before Saul was made king of Israel, even when Israel was desiring a king and desiring that God would give them somebody to rule over them, and why, that sounds like a bad idea to me from the very very beginning. But here in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, the Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Sometimes you get out and you witness to people and you try to get people interested in turning to Jesus, and they reject you. But I tell you something today, you're no different than Samuel was. And God told Samuel, don't you worry about it. It's not you that they've rejected, but it's me. It's God that they reject. You tell people about Jesus and they say no. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. God is the one that they despise and want nothing to do with. In 1 Samuel chapter number 10, just a couple of chapters over, the Bible tells us that the people, Samuel told the people that day that they had rejected the Lord. And he tells them in verse 19, "And you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, now, but we want a king over us, and we want to be like everybody else." When you start trying to be like everybody else, the first thing you've got to do is reject God, because that's what everybody else is doing. You can't be like everybody else and love God, because that's just not happening. Not today, and probably not anywhere in history did everybody love God. But people have rejected him. And so Samuel told the people, it was God that brought you through the wilderness. It was God that brought you out of Egypt. It was God that parted the Red Sea. It was God that fed you with manna. It was God that brought water out of the rock. It was God that gave us every blessing of life that we have, and yet it's God that we reject. What's wrong with people? I don't understand why people can be so blessed of God and still want to reject him. He's the only blessing that we have in this world, and yet we don't want it. Why would you choose a curse over a blessing? What is it that would make you want to say, I want something that will hurt me rather than something that will help me? I'm telling you something, people don't think. They have no sense. I mean, that may be a bad thing to say, but I'm telling you something. We're living in a world full of crazy people. Amen. The only ones that's not crazy is ones that's saved, as far as I'm concerned. Because the Bible said only the fool has said in his heart there's no God. Well, preacher, I never said there wasn't no God. Well, if you're not saved and living for him, you don't have to say it. Your life shows it. Amen. Well, I am saved, but I'm not living for him. I don't believe that either. I'm sorry, I'm not a judge. You got no business judging me, preacher. Then stay off the judgment seat. Because I want to tell you something. I just believe what I see. My mama taught me something a long time ago. Don't believe anything you hear, and only half what you see. When I see people say they're saved, they got no use for God, you know what I believe? They got no use for God, and therefore they're not saved. I'm sorry if that offends somebody. You say, preacher, you're judging. You know something? The only people that run around hollering, you don't have a right to judge me, is the ones that need to be judged. Amen. I've never said that. You can judge me all you want to. I'm not doing anything. Judge me, I don't care, but people that say don't judge me is the ones that's guilty. I'll tell you something, one day God's going to judge you. Jesus Christ, the great judge, is going to stand, and you're going to stand before him, and he will judge you. Listen, God loved Israel. He delivered them. He proved himself to them, but they rejected God and chose a king that couldn't even do anything for his own self. They chose Saul as their king. You remember the end of Saul over in the 28th or 29th chapter of 1 Samuel. He went to a witch and said, God won't talk to me, and I'm helpless, and I can do nothing. That's what they chose over God. I want to tell you something. If you chose that over God, you made a bad choice. You choose a man over God, that's idolatry. I don't care. You may say anything you want to. That's all it is. Listen, God is rejected today. Another thing that's rejected is God's Word. People reject the Word of God. And they reject the Word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 15:23. Samuel told Saul, he said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. And because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being the king. Listen, when you reject God and you reject God's word, you might as well expect that God is going to reject you in some things too. Even people that think that they're living for God and serving God. Samuel thought he's pretty good. He came out after he went out and to where God sent him. He came back and said, I did everything God said to do. He didn't do anything hardly God said to do. God said, kill everything that breathes. Saul brought back the best of the livestock. Said the people brought it back to do sacrifice to God. That's why Samuel said it's better to obey God than it is to make a sacrifice. People think they're staying in the book. When you start wanting to do things your way, you're already out of the book. You know, the world's full of people today, and the church is full of people today that want to do things their own way. Want to do everything the way they want to. But I want to tell you something, that's not right. You can't tell me you're a Christian and a child of God and obedient to God and doing things your own way. The Word of God tells us a lot of good things if we would just read it and take it to heart. Hey, listen, God's Word will instruct us in everything that we need in this life. First thing that the Word of God will teach us is how to be saved. You want to be saved today? The book will tell you how. Amen. It'll tell you how. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But people don't want to do that way. They'd rather be saved some other way. Let me sign a card or join the church or get baptized or shake the preacher's hand, or there's got to be another way because I don't want to accept Jesus as my Savior. You'll never get there any other way. He told them in the 10th chapter of the book of John, he said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. These places all through the Bible, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't come by him, you're not going to come at all. And the book tells us how to be saved. And yet we don't want the book. We don't want the Word of God. You know, the Word of God will teach you how to be happy and have a happy life. You read the Word of God, you apply the Word of God to your heart and life, I tell you something, you'll be happy. I'm telling you, you can have a bad day and pick up the Word of God and read just a few verses, and it'll turn a bad day into a good day. But people reject the Word of God, and then they wonder why they walk around all the time sad and down the dumps all the time. The Word of God will teach you how to live a Christian life. But you got to do what it says. It's one thing to read in here and say, okay, the Bible said come out from among them and be a separated people. But I want to be with them, but I want to be a Christian. You can't do that. You see, you're going against the Word of God. You're rejecting what God's Word tells you to do. And when you reject the Word of God, you cannot expect it to ever work for you in your life. It won't work. Nothing of it will work. Word of God will tell you how to have a successful marriage. You know, the divorce rate now is, well, last time I checked it, 51%. That don't seem like very much since it was about 51% 25 years ago. I said, boy, you mean they ain't growing in? No, because people quit getting married. They just having babies. Every young girl that I know, every young lady, you hear them talking, I want a baby, I want a baby, I want a baby. They wouldn't raise a baby if they had one. First thing I say, get a husband first and then worry about starting a family. But you see, when we reject the Word of God, we do things backwards and do them upside down and wrong. And then we wonder why our life is such a shambles and falling apart all the time. This we need to do it the way God said. He said, He tells us how to be successful in our marriage. He lays it out, lines it up all the way from the book of Genesis all the way through the Bible. Paul in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, I believe, said the wife is to be under subjection to her own husband. That's not hard to understand. But you see women today say, well, I don't like that. I don't want to be under subjection to my own husband. I know the Bible says be under subjection, but he's not talking to me. He's talking to all other women. I'm a special example, or I'm a special case. And with me, it's okay for me to be in charge, because for one thing, he just can't do it. And another thing, he's not going to do it. And so because of these special circumstances, I can do it my way. It won't work your way. Bible said, husbands, love your wives. This husband's today loving everything but their wife. And then we wonder why there's so many marriages are falling apart and failing, because we're not basing them on God. Listen, God ought to be the very center of our marriage and our home. He ought to be right in the middle of it. Everything that we do, every decision we make, everything that we take on us ought to go through God first. I could spend all day on these things, but I don't have time. But the Word of God will tell you how to raise your children. Well, I know how to raise my children. Dr. Spock taught me. Don't ever whoop them to start with. See, you're already on the wrong track. Bible says, spare the rod. What does it say? Spoil the child? No, that ain't what it says. Spare the rod, you hate the child. You know what that says? That says if you don't spank your children, you hate them. The Bible says that. Yes, the Bible says that. The Word of God says that. But people reject the Word of God and they say, I love them too much to spank them. No, you hate them too much. Listen, if we reject the Word of God, throw everything else in life out the window, because nothing will work. We don't need to be rejecting God's Word. So many people in the world today rejecting the Word of God. So many people in our churches today rejecting the Word of God. Listen, when the book is rejected, when the Word of God is rejected, when we're not following the instruction, how can we expect anything to work right in our life? It won't never do it. It won't do it. Preacher, I don't know why this is going so wrong. Are you doing what God said? Well, no, I'm not really, but I've got a better way figured out. You ain't got nothing figured out. Ain't got a thing figured out. Proverbs 14:12 said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Oh, I got this all figured out, preacher. I know what I'm doing. If you're not doing it God's way, you got nothing figured out except you're dying without God. That's all. Listen, we need to receive the Word of God, not reject God's precious Word. Without the Word of God leading us, your whole life will be nothing but chaos. It'll all be upside down, backwards, and wrong side out, and crooked. And I'm telling you, it'll never be made straight without lining ourselves up with the Word of God. He didn't say you had to like it. He just said you had to do it. Israel rejected God's statutes and covenants. God made a statute with them. He made a covenant with them. He entered into a relationship with Israel. And they didn't want that, so they wanted a king instead of God. They rejected God's statutes. They rejected God's judgments. Bible said in 2 Kings 17 and 15, first part of that verse, and they rejected the statutes and his covenants that made he had made with their fathers. Listen, our fathers, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, they served God. They lived for God. Their families served God. Now we're living in a time where most families, they say, yeah, it was good for Papa, but it ain't good for me. It's good for you too. What's not good is for you to be without it and try to have the same outcome that they had. People, I hear them all the time, they say, boy, this person, this couple, they got a perfect marriage. No, they don't. They work at it. Nothing's perfect. But I tell you something, it can all work if we work together with it. People tell my wife and I sometimes, I'd like to have a marriage like yours and build it on what we built ours on. And that's Jesus Christ. Build it on what we are instructed to build it on. Build it on God. Put Jesus down for the foundation and then build upon it and everything will turn out better. If you don't, you're like the man, foolish man, built his house on the sand. When the rains came and the floods came, it fell down flat because it wasn't built on a foundation. Listen, God's people rejected God's law. God gave them the law over there in the book of Deuteronomy. And then Moses brought them together and read the law to them. They said, that sounds good, we'll do that. They never did that. They never accepted what they said they would accept from God. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19, he said, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Listen, you reject the law of God, God will reject you. Listen, rejecting God's laws, God's statutes and covenants and His words and His law, it's the exact opposite of hiding it in your heart that you might not sin against God. The psalmist said that in the 119th Psalm. I'm going to put your word down in my heart here and I'm not going to sin against you. But when you reject it, you've got nothing to fall back on and you will be, I'm telling you, it'll make a total wreck out of your whole entire life if you don't base it on the Word of God, on the law of God. People reject knowledge. You know, people don't want knowledge. Hosea 4 and 6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. That's the first part of the verse. I'll read the last part of it later. But listen, the first part of that verse said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People died lost without God, slipping off into hell because of lack of knowledge. They don't know how to be saved. They don't understand about Jesus. They don't understand about the Son of God that came into this world to die on Calvary. They don't have the knowledge of that, and they perish daily because of it. You read the obituaries in the paper. 9.5 out of 10 of them will say they died and went to a better place. And yet Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, it leadeth to life everlasting, and few be that find that way. And He said, broad is the gate and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be that go therein. Now listen, if Jesus said few go unto heaven and many go unto hell, tell me how 9 out of 10 can be going to heaven. I believe they got that backwards. But you see, it sounds better when we lose a loved one to say, oh, they're in a better place. Yeah, it sounds good, but it don't change nothing. If they were saved, they're in a better place. If they wasn't saved, they're in hell. And you can't change that. And once a person takes their last breath, it's sealed, but it ain't no way to ever go back and change it after that. But listen, God's people reject knowledge. James said in chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and to him it shall be given. What did he say? He said, if you lack wisdom, pray about it. Ask God about it. And he'll help you with whatever that you're in need of. Are we going to do that? No, not mostly. Mostly we're just going to despise knowledge. We'll despise wisdom. We'll despise God. We'll reject the whole thing. And then we wonder what's wrong in our life. I tell you something, our lives are just in a mess because we've rejected all the things of God. Everything about God has been rejected by 90% of people in the world today. And the other 5 or 10% is rejecting most of it. I tell you, we need to get back to the basics of following after God. We need to get back to the basics of doing what's right. We need to get back, get out of this religious form that we're in. Get out of this attitude of doing it my way because I'm smarter than God. I'm wiser than God. And get out of that. Get back in the book and say, okay, let me see. Here's where I'm supposed to be. Here's where I am. So I better get started to change my life and get it lined up the way God said. I tell you, people, we're missing it so, so bad. Because people are rejecting all the things of God. The religious crowd, that's the church, I guess. I don't like to be counted religious. I'd rather be counted as saved. I know people say, used to, they'd say they got religion. And when people used to get religion, they had something. But religion don't mean a thing anymore. You get religion, that's all you got's religion. Say, preacher, I know I'm okay because I've been baptized. You'll go to hell, wet sinner. I'm telling you, if you've never been saved, you're not going to. Baptism won't get you off the ground when the trump of God sounds. It will get you off the ground or bring you out of hell. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, I guess, when he said, I saw the dead, both small and great, and the sea gave up the wicked dead which was in them. And I saw all the wicked people of the world, and they stood before God for judgment. You'll be there. If you're not saved, that's where you're going to be. You're going to wind up at the judgment, but it ain't going to be the one you wanted to be at. Listen, the religious crowd rejects the counsel of God against themselves. In Luke chapter number 7, Jesus said, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of Him. They came to John's baptism, but they didn't get baptized. Why? John was preaching, bring forth fruit that's meet for repentance. And they were saying, we don't need to do that. There's nothing wrong in our life. We don't have anything wrong. There's the biggest bunch of sinners. Jesus even called them vipers and hypocrites. He called them all kinds of bad names in the Word of God. But they still said, we don't need none of that stuff. Their idea was they was going to make it on their knowledge. They didn't have any knowledge. You know, we're coming up on the Christmas time of the year, and I think a lot about the shepherds. I don't know much about shepherding. I've never been a shepherd. I've never even been around sheep except when I go to the zoo or somewhere, maybe a petting farm somewhere or something. I don't know anything about those things. But I can imagine when I read the Bible and I see that these shepherds was up at night and everybody else was asleep. You know what that tells me? That tells me shepherding couldn't have been the best job to have. I mean, matter of fact, Brother Woody worked a lot of nights on the railroad. I can't tell you the sleepless nights that I've driven across this country. You drive by one subdivision after another and you see the lights all out in the home and people you think, man, they're all in there asleep and I'm out here working, trying to get their stuff delivered to the store before they wake up in the morning. Wasn't the best job. Working for the railroad wasn't, and driving a truck ain't. There's a whole lot of better things a person could be doing. But these poor shepherds, they was the ones that worked all night while everybody else slept. They wasn't very good. And in my opinion, I think shepherding was probably a pretty bad job. I don't know. But you know something? When the angels came and made announcement that the child of God and son of God had been born in a city called Bethlehem, who did he tell? The shepherds. They was the only ones awake. Listen, we need to take note of that, and we need to wake up and let God talk to us. They came to him and said, "There's a child is born in the city of David." And they said, "We've got to leave these sheep, and we're going to go down there and see that." Listen, shepherding might have been the worst job in the world, but they was the first ones to see the Christ child. I want to tell you something. That tells me something. That tells me something. Just because you may not be the most popular, the best, or the highest, or anything else in this world, I'll tell you something, you're still high on God's ladder. If you're living for Him, if you're saved and serving Him, He's still got you lifted up. Amen. Listen, I thank God that He came to the shepherds. Why didn't He wake the Pharisees up and tell them? They wasn't paid any attention to Him anyway. He went to the ones that would listen. The Pharisees was so smart in their own self, they never did recognize all the way from the cradle till they nailed Him to the cross. They never recognized that He was the Son of God. And they were supposed to be the smart people in the world. So many people in this world today think they're smart. They think they're outsmarting God. They think they're pulling something over on the crucified Savior. They think they're going to make it to heaven on some good thing they've done. Most of them never done a good thing. Even if you did, it ain't going to get you to heaven. Listen, we need to be saved today, church. I'm going to tell you something. Folk need to be born again. Folks need to come to Calvary. We need to get back to the basics and the principles of living for God and serving God this morning. The religious crowd, they reject God because they don't need Him. I've talked to people before. You go out and knock on a door. Ask somebody, "Do you go to church?" "I don't need that. I'm a good person." "Have you ever been saved?" "I don't need that because I live a pretty good life." I want to tell you something. You can be a good person, live the best life. You know how to live. When you die, you'll die lost without God if you've not been saved. But you see, the religious people, they think everything's okay. And it's not okay. I'm telling you this morning, if you're one of those religious people, you're not okay. Some things that the Lord has rejected. Listen, there's things that have been rejected by God. One of them. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, talking about Esau, he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. My, what a price. Bible said in Hebrews 12:16, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Listen, would you sell your opportunity to be saved? Would you sell your opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior for a morsel of bread? I know a lot of people that would. I know a lot of people that do. "Well, no, preacher, I wouldn't sell it for a morsel of bread." What about drugs? What about alcohol? He said here in Hebrews, he said, "Lest there be any fornicator." People sell their soul for fornication. Adultery, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of illicit ungodliness. And we'll sell out our birthright. We'll sell our right to be saved. We'll sell everything we've got to enjoy pleasures of this world. And you know something? The sad part about it is this world's not going to last very long. Oh, preacher, I've got a lot of time ahead of me. I'm young. Yep. I saw on the internet yesterday, I was looking and something popped up. It's a 109-year-old man. They said he was the oldest World War II veteran still alive. I didn't know there's anybody alive that old. 109. You know what? If you could talk to that man today and say, "Just tell me something about life," you know what he'd probably tell you? It's short. It's short. 109 years is nothing. When you stack it up next to eternity, 109 years, 110 years, Methuselah was 967 years old. That's nothing stacked up next to eternity. And yet people are trying to fill this short life. They're trying to fill the void in their heart with ungodliness and sin. I tell you, we need to be filling it with Jesus. But the Bible goes on here and he said, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, notice when he would have. There's a lot of people that have died, went to hell, when they would have went to heaven if they'd have been saved, but they wasn't. I don't know how to get that through people's minds. People just don't hear. They hear, but they just don't hear. They got ears, and they work just fine. They don't hear. He said when he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Listen, you can't get saved anytime you want to. I don't care what the devil's told you. You will not get saved anytime you want to. There's people that just waiting for their death, the breath of life to leave their body. And with their last breath, they're going to cry out, God, save me. I want to tell you something, that ain't going to work. I wouldn't give 2 cents for it. And I sure wouldn't stake eternity on it. Jesus said, no man come to the Father except by me. No man come to me except the Father draw him. Listen, it takes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, or you'll never, ever be saved. He said here that Esau sought a place of repentance, but he never did find it. I want to tell you something this morning. You can sin away your day of grace. God deals with your heart. God deals with your mind. God deals with you. God draws you and you say no, 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 no. And finally one day you say, okay, God, I'm ready. And he said, nope, it's too late. There's no place of repentance. Will God really do that? He could do that. I believe he does do that at times. Now, hey, you may be fortunate. He may not do you that way. But I want to tell you something. I wouldn't fool around with him. I wouldn't bank on it. I wouldn't bet my life on it. I wouldn't bet eternity on it. We need to be saved. I'm telling you people, salvation is so important. Living for God, serving God, being ready to go to heaven. Listen, I'll tell you something. If I drop dead this morning, I've got a better place to go. And if they put in my obituary, he's gone to a better place, you can believe it. Because I made preparation over 50 years ago when I fell on my face at an altar of prayer and asked Jesus to come into my heart and life, and he saved me, and I've been saved ever since, and I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey is getting sweeter every day. And I mean that. We used to sing that old song. I learned it from a friend of mine. Been gone for years. He used to go around, he sang that song, Heaven. He said, I'm on my way to heaven and the journey's getting sweeter every day. I enjoyed the song, but I didn't understand the song then. I was young. But I want to tell you something, the older I get, the more I realize this journey to heaven is getting sweeter and sweeter. Sweeter as the days go by, because one day I'm going to be like old Enoch was. I'm going to be walking with God, and he's going to be saying, you're closer to my home than you are yours, so come on with me. Oh, listen, I'm thankful. I'm grateful that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. If I didn't, I wouldn't leave this building this morning until I had it settled. I told you I'd read the last part of Hosea 4 and 6. Let me go back and read the first part again. Hosea 4 and 6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Last part of that verse, I will also reject thee. God said, if you reject me, I'm going to reject you. You cannot expect to reject God and still make it to God's heaven. You're not going to make it. I'm telling you, you're not going to make it. You can't make it. It's impossible. He said, I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. I don't want God to forget my children. It's, I want my children to be with me in heaven. I want my children to be saved by God's grace. I want my children to have the opportunity to know who Jesus is. Our young people and our choir, I guess, sings a song, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's everlasting life. I tell you, he's a friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm so glad that I know who he is. Do you know what most people today, they want their children to be football stars, basketball stars, rock stars. They don't care what kind of star they are, just so they make a lot of money so they can give it to them. I wonder how that's going to work out for you. Even if they do make it big somewhere through something, I wonder how many of you they're even going to remember. I'll tell you something, that's not the most important thing. I never cared whether my son was a football player. I never cared whether my son was a basketball player. I never cared if he was a star baseball player. I never cared if he was a great singer or athlete or... I never cared that he be the President of the United States. I never cared anything for that stuff. All I wanted him to be was saved by God's grace. All I want is for my children to be saved and know that God loves them. I'll tell you something, if I died today, my children walked by my casket, they would not ever tell a one of you my dad ever quit serving God. I ain't going to tell you that because that didn't happen. I've served the Lord ever since the day they was, well, way before they was born. Miss Carol and I started singing in church together when we was dating. We've sung in church together after we got married. We're still singing in church together. I've had my children, they've always seen us working for the Lord together. But I've pastored churches most of the time since they've been born. I tell you all what they've seen out of Dad, and I'm not up here bragging about me. What I'm telling you is I've tried to be steadfast and unmovable because I want my children to know who Jesus is. Amen. People say I raised my children in church. Yeah, that insisted of taking them on Easter Sunday and Mother's Day and maybe Christmas, and that's about it. Three or four times a year, and that's not raising them in church. I remember when my youngest was born. We was at the hospital. Hadn't got out yet. They used to keep you 3 or 4 days when you had a baby. Now they kick you out the next day or the same day. What's changed? Nothing changed in childbirth. It must be insurance or something. They won't keep you anymore. We was in the hospital and the pediatrician came by. We already got one son we've been raising, and we got a pretty good handle on how to do this. We wasn't perfect, but we knew a little bit about what was going on. This man came in, this doctor said, don't get this child around crowds. Don't take him here, don't take him there. And the last thing he said before he walked out the door, and it's the last thing he ever said to me, he said, whatever you do, don't take him to church till he's at least 3 or 4 years old. He walked through the door and I told her, he's fired. I don't want to ever see him again. I don't remember who he was. I never talked to him again after that. And I don't want to talk to him. First place my son went after we got him home from the hospital, next place he went was the house of God. And I tell you, we brought him up there. Because why? Because Hosea said that if you reject God, he said, I'll forget about your children. I don't want him to forget about my children. Listen, what about you today? Have you rejected God? Have you rejected His Word? Have you rejected anything that I've preached this morning? Listen, I want to tell you something. We need to not reject it. We need to embrace it today. Take the Word of God and embrace it. Get it up close to your heart and let it do a work in you that nothing else in this world will do. I tell you, I lay down at night and go to sleep. I sleep so good. Because I'm not worried. I'm not worried about a thing. I know people say I can't sleep because I might not wake up in the morning. I'll wake up in the morning somewhere. If I don't wake up here, I'll wake up over yonder. Song said, when I wake up, sleep no more. One of these days, we're looking for that promise. I may not wake up here, but I promise you one thing. If you're saved by God's grace, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. Oh, listen, I just love God today, and I wish everybody did, but I know everybody don't. Why don't you come this morning if you're here and you're lost without God? Why are you taking chances? Why are you living right on the edge? Why are you betting on whether you'll be here tomorrow? Why are you thinking about having another opportunity when this may be your last? I tell you, there's so many things in the Word of God that I could have mentioned this morning that people say, oh, I'm doing this right. If you get in there and look, you probably find out you're not doing it right. A lot of things. A whole lot of things. Just like the Bible said, Jesus told him, He said, I was in prison and you visited me not. I was sick and you didn't come to me. They said, when did we do that? When you done it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then He turned around and He told another group, a righteous group. He said, I was sick and you visited me. They said, we don't remember that. Yeah, but do you remember visiting that brother or that sister? You see, when you done it to them, you done it to God. You see, we look at things like that. We see things like that in the Bible, but we say that doesn't apply to me. So we don't visit the sick. We don't visit those that are in need. We don't do anything the Bible says hardly to do. And yet we run around hollering, I'm doing it right and I'm living for God. Oh, there's a lot of room for a lot of improvement in a lot of lives, lost or saved. I'm going to come get a song this morning. While they come, I wonder if you're here. You say, preacher, I've been missing it pretty bad. I didn't know I was. I thought I was doing it right. Preacher, I missed it a mile. Yes, I did too. I still do. I'm not standing up here and tell you I'm perfect. I told my wife, I said, when I read something in the Bible that it says I'm supposed to do and I'm not doing it, I try to change. When I read something in the Bible that I'm not supposed to be doing, that I am doing, I try to change. Most people look at it, they read it, they say, well, it says do that and I'm not doing it, but hey, that's just one little thing. That's just one little thing. That doesn't amount to much. What did Solomon say? Small foxes. It's what's spoiling all the vines. You know why people got no confidence in what we call Christian people anymore? Most of them not living according to what the Bible says. Oh, I wish we'd just examine our hearts this morning. Find out where we are exactly. Where we've missed it. How can we fix it? And then get started on the repair. Father, we thank You for giving us another privilege to stand today. Lord, I've preached my heart out this morning, God. Lord, I've tried to preach what You give me, Lord. God, I ask You, Father, to take it. Just use it, Lord, this morning, Father, to touch hearts. God, touch minds, souls. God, help people realize exactly where they are with You. Compl- compared to where they need to be. Lord, would you just help us today? Lord Jesus, God bless in this invitation. Lord, touch every heart here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand, while we sing the number, would you come?